victory. I have a song in my heart. I have a dance in my feet. I have happiness in my hand. I have stomping in my feet. I lift my head up. Hallelujah, and I dry my tears. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I become what I think. Hallelujah. On the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. My soul, woo, can't but happen. Happy am I. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. So when I look and see what he brought me through, that's why I'm able to tell you, honey, hold up your head. Dry up your tears. Because there's victory in serving Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what you're going through, that he is.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be alright.
This is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It'll be alright.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be alright. KAYT.
No need to
worry. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Father, we thank you afresh for this, another opportunity to give your name praise and glory and honor, to hear from you in such a special and intimate way, to open up a pathway of communication that instructs us and inspires us. And for that, we say thank you. God, we thank you for blessing us and keeping us for lo these many years. You've been faithful, God. And for that again, we say thank you. You brought us through seen and unseen dangers. And God, I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you one more time. You've looked beyond our faults and kept on meeting our needs. And I've got to say thank you one more time. God, you've given us a reasonable portion of health and strength. And when men said we wouldn't make it, we're living testimonies to your goodness and your mercy. And for that, we want to say thank you. God, when funds were low and food was spoiled and troubles were high and the enemies were around, you made a way out of no way. And we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all you've done for us. And right now, God, speak to our hearts. Open up our minds. Open up our ears. Open up our eyes. And show us what you have us to know.
And God will be ever so careful to give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said amen, 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 and amen. To God be the glory. As we culminate our month-long messages and teachings on prayer and fasting, I want to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 16, 17, and 18. And Jesus is again speaking from this iconic Sermon on the Mount. And he's instructing his disciples and the hearers about this issue now of fasting. It's important for us to hear what the Master has to say. To help us to grow and to do what he has called us to do properly so that we can benefit from the principles. Matthew 6 and 16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that men, that they may appear unto men to fast." Listen to what he says. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, false faces and sacred places. False faces and sacred places. Jesus is talking to his disciples and to the hearers who have gathered around to hear his revolutionary preaching, his inspiring, awe-inspiring teachings. And Jesus is sharing information that will bring about inspiration because it brings forth deliverance, and it brings forth edification, and it brings forth manifestations of greater blessings. It's important how Jesus structures things. When we were dealing with, at the beginning of the month, praying, he starts off in the fifth verse of this sixth chapter by telling the disciples and the listeners, don't be like the hypocrites, for they stand in the corners and the marketplaces, etc., and they pray to be seen. He says, "But thou, when thou pray," he say, "you go into your closet, shut the door," and he instructs us to tell our Heavenly Father, who is in secret, what it is we have need of, and that our Heavenly Father will reward us. Because verse 8 says, he already knows what we have need of. Now, in the 16th verse, he comes back and he says, "Moreover." And he says, this word "moreover" is again a word that helps us to understand that he's adding additionally to the principle that he's already taught. "Moreover" means that he's giving attention to a principle he does not want to go unadvised, and certainly one that goes unheard. He says, "When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Now, this is the second time he brings up this word, hypocrites. Now, what's interesting about this, if you'd study the root of this word, it comes from the arena of theatrics. It comes from the word that has to do with actors, performers, yeah, pretending, and role players. So in essence, what Jesus is calling attention to is religious role players. You've seen in the theatrical world the mask. One face has a smiling face, and the other face has a sad face, and they are side by side. Because whatever storyline the actor is given, he or she performs that as though they were the real person. And so they pretend to be someone they're not. And they pretend the actions of that person. And so they are role playing. And so one of the things that you've got to understand is that the theatrical world realizes and recognizes that these people are only performers, that they're only paid actors, that they're just pretending to be someone else. But Jesus turns the attention to religious role players. The problem with this is the world thinks they're real until they discover that they're just playing a role. And my brothers and sisters, as he calls attention to these religious role players, he say, don't be like them. Listen at this. He says, of a sad countenance. Now, I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, some of the greatest pretenders, some of the greatest role players, some of the greatest performers you'll ever find, you'll find right in the church house. You've got some folk who can put on and perform and out role play some of the best actors, A actors on television. They can pretend and perform like they're all of this and all of that. And they do it with such conviction that they convince even those who know better. That's why you have to discern by the Spirit. Because if you let tears fall, if you let sad countenance come, if you let trembling voices come, they'll convince you with a good act. But the Holy Ghost knows what's real and what's not real. So if you're going to judge anything, judge the Spirit, which will give you the truth of all things. That's why some folk don't understand when folk be doing things in church and they get there and pretend to be filled with the Spirit of God. And God has given you a guideline by which His Spirit operates. And when people operate outside of the guidelines of that Spirit, God, since He had not placed a correction on His Word, a revision on His Word, it means His Word still stands. And if His Word still stands, that means His Word hadn't changed. And if His Word hadn't changed, that means they're out of order and not God. And when you know the Word and they're out of order, you need to set it in order. There are just some things that ought not be. But many folk don't know it because they're watching religious role players who pretend in such a convincing fashion that they lose many folk in the shuffle of their playing roles. Listen at this. He says, for they disfigure their faces. Now these are some old pros. I mean, they
Ooh. Oh, I mean, they put on some of the, you all right? You hurting? You okay? I mean, they can disfigure their faces and you like, oh Lord, you in pain. You folks be like, you, that's the whole, I don't want none of that. Grab his stomach and butter. Now listen, don't get me wrong. There are real folk that the imitators are imitating. And you can tell the real from the phony. Because the phony have to take their cue from the real. I wish I had a witness here. And they got to watch the real do it so they can copy it and practice. And y'all know how y'all do it at home. You can't do it first here because you got to go home and practice it. So next time the spirit get to moving high, I'm going to get out and do my. How I look? How I look? Did I? Then get it and do the dip. Can I tell you, if the Holy Ghost get on you, you don't need to practice at home. If you do it at home, it's because he get on you at home. But it ought to be real. Whenever he moves on you. And it ain't got to be the church house. It can be your house. It can be the White House. It can be the jail house. It can be the crack house. Wherever he moves you, you ought to be willing to be moved. For they disfigure their faces that they may, listen, appear unto men to fast, that they may appear unto men to fast. Now, if Jesus says that they may appear, then it's clearly an act. It's an actor acting out a fast. And anybody who's really fasted knows that there are some things that happen to the body that will cause you every now and then to frown up. Every now and then, everybody that really knows about fasting know that your stomach will talk louder than your mouth. Yeah, sometimes those of you who have fasted long enough know sometimes your stomach and your backbone seem to have an intimate relationship. Yes, sir. And there are changes your body goes through. There are things many times that you experience in fasting, both negatively and positively, that you won't experience at any other time. So look at what the word says, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. Jesus says these religious role players have their reward. How do they have their reward? I'm glad you asked. First, through affirmation. They have their reward from men because men affirm that they are religious people doing this religious act, that those who are not as religiously committed and dedicated won't do. It is a certain, listen, affirmation they receive from the looks of men as they're standing there with their faces disfigured and that something wrong underneath the skin, but that look like I'm hurting, but I'm going to be all right. You just don't know what I'm going through, but I'm going through it in the name of the Lord. And they pretend with this religious role and affirms that they are religious people from the stairs of the people. But not only do they get their reward through affirmation, but they get their reward through adoration. Because there are people that come by and say, "You're fasting, aren't you?" "Oh God, I couldn't do that. Oh, I admire you. I thank God for you. That is just, oh man, I know what you're going through. Pray for me." All because they are performing so that they can get the praises of men. And then lastly, they get their reward through appreciation. One, through self-appreciation, that they put on such a good show that they even almost fooled themselves. And that others were fooled so much so as to be moved by their presentation. Jesus said, truly, they have their reward. Now, if he talks about religious role players, those who are hypocrites, those who are actors, performers, and pretenders, he said to us, don't be like them. Moreover, be not, when thou fast, be not as the hypocrites. He's saying to us, you're wasting your time pretending and performing, because for it you will not get any more than the affirmation, adoration, and appreciation of man. And that is so short-lived. And whatever it's worth, that's all it is. It is what it is. And don't expect God to chip in and do anything or to give you anything for pretending and performing. May I say to the church of God, God is tired of pretenders and performers. Why do we pretend when God has given us the power to do what he has said for us to do, so that he himself can give to us what he desires for us to have, how we can change our lives and our situations and our circumstances by not being hypocritical, but being real? He's already made clear in the sixth verse of this sixth chapter, go into your closet, shut the door, tell him what you want. That means you ain't got to be fake and phony. Ain't nobody listening but the Lord. And here's a helpful holy hint. He already knows what your issues are, what your problems are, what your needs are, what your position, your petitions are. He already knows that. So it ought to be easier to communicate with him who knows all things. But he wants that fellowship and communion. And see, when you're real, you don't have a problem with being real. God, I just want to tell you, I'm having issues with this problem, and I'm having troubles with this situation. God, it appears the enemy is overpowering me in this area. God, I need your help and strength. I need you to deliver me. I need you to strengthen me. You be real with him and tell him. Don't stop acting like you all of that and you know you ain't all of that. Stop acting like on Sunday morning you ain't went through nothing Monday through Saturday. It's been pie in the sky every day of the week. You've been on top. You ain't had no issues, no problems, no situations, no circumstances. It's been all good in the hood. When you barely made it here on Sunday morning, didn't even know if you would have made it through the week. Be real with God. Now listen, prayer is what you say.
to God. It's where you communicate with him. But fasting is where you live out before God what you've committed unto him. Well, first of all, let me just quickly throw out to you why it's important to fast. First of all, fasting humbles the soul. If you got a pen and pencil, just jot this down. Psalm 35 and 13. Fasting humbles the soul. But then fasting also chastens, corrects the soul. Psalm 69 and 10. And then in Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11, you find out that fasting crucifies the appetites and denies them so as to give time, total, entire time to prayer. When you fast, you remove from your appetite the things it desires. What does fasting do? Fasting, and you can find all these in Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11. Fasting demonstrates the mastery, listen, over appetites. The mastery over appetites. In other words, fasting shows that you have mastered putting food in its place. Fasting aids in giving victory over temptation. All this is found in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Fasting helps in attaining power over demons. Fasting develops faith. Fasting crucifies unbelief. And then fasting aids in prayer. Now all of these things, these last seven things, were found in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. You just go through those words, and that's when Jesus was getting ready to go through the 40-day fast and tempting of the devil. So go through that and see all of these things that fasting does. But what it does originally is bring us back to the place where man fell. See, Satan used food. The same tree that God told Adam, gave him a mandate not to eat nor even touch this tree, nor eat the fruit thereof. Listen, he didn't tell Eve, he told Adam. And yet, listen, he commanded him in Genesis 3 and 3, don't do it. In Genesis 3:6, he did it. Let me say that again. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, he told him, don't do it. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, he did it. Now, here's something interesting I think I need to throw out for free. It is one of the ways that you will understand, after God gave him this word, the enemy comes right around quickly to take that word out of his heart quickly before it can take root. That's why when you have a Holy Ghost filled service and God is moving by his spirit, the enemy quickly wants to come around and try and mess with your spirit, disturb your spirit, try and bring you out of the spirit that you've just been flowing in, because he doesn't want that word to take root in you and to grow in you. So you got to understand what the enemy's plans and his plots are. And that's what he did with Adam. And he ain't got no new tricks. He's still doing the same thing today. Sometimes you get a good word, and before you can get out the church good, the enemy is messing with you.
That's right, Doc.
And so fasting is so important. So now in verse 17, he deals with these who are devoted disciples. He tells them, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Now, why does he tell them to do that? Because fasting is a private concern between the person.